Would you turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4? 1 John chapter 4. Probably all of us know real well that next Sunday, not today, next Sunday is Valentine's Day. And it's a day in which people readily celebrate the relationships that are so meaningful to them. Family relationships, husband and wife relationships, other types of relationships. Valentine's Day can also be a time in which we celebrate God's amazing love for us. And the songs that were chosen this morning were songs that remind us of the love of God. And this morning, the title of the message is God's Love and Our Love. We're going to move over into our love, which is a responsibility we have, as Cliff mentioned, after the scripture reading this morning. Most people, next week, or Valentine's Day, will celebrate human love one to another. And there's a reason for this. Some of you know the background of Valentine's Day. In the 3rd century, Claudius II prohibited young couples from getting engaged or getting married. 3rd century. Roman emperors had tremendous power. You couldn't vote them out like we can do today. It's even hard to do that today. Forget that. Emperor Claudius II wanted to increase the size of his army, and he believed that married men did not make good soldiers. He was wrong on that too. He believed that married men focused on their families rather than on Roman warfare. So he prohibited marriage. Valentine, however, who was a young priest, opposed the emperor's decree for no marriages. And he married couples in secret. Valentine was caught and interrogated by Emperor Claudius. And he was the emperor tried to persuade him to give up his faith in God and in the Lord. And the persuasion didn't work from the emperor. So Valentine was arrested, thrown in jail, and executed on February 14th, 269 or 270 A.D., one of the two times. While he was in jail, we are told, and there are variations of the story, he fell in love with the jailer's blind daughter. Interesting. But the interesting thing as well is the last or the final note that he sent to her, which she had to have read, of course, his final note, which was sent to her, was signed, and it said, "With love from your Valentine." So that's the beginnings of Valentine's Day. God's love and our love. Love is normally thought of as a spontaneous emotional response. Somebody says, you'll hear somebody say from time to time, well, I saw this person, I fell in love immediately. Could happen, but normally speaking, we're going to see this as we delve into the subject more. Love is something that comes out of a knowledge of a person. Love is that which, according to the Bible, and I'm going to give this definition at first, love is that which seeks the highest good in the one who's loved. I'm going to repeat that. That's Dr. Ryrie's definition. Love is that which seeks the highest good in the one who is loved. Now, in the Greek language, there's three words for love. There's agape love, which refers to the highest form of love, love which has its source in God. Also, in the Greek world, there was a word, phileo, which meant friendship-type love or brotherly love. And then there was another word, which is not found in the Bible, but there's eros love or romantic-type love, and it's not meaning that it's a bad kind of love. Eros love is illustrated in Scripture in the Song of Solomon. Now, God's love, we want to define it. God's love means that God eternally gives of Himself to others. Now, I'm going to repeat that. You will find, if you see any discussion on the subject of love, that people will say, it's really hard to define. Let's go back again. I said that I believe that agape love is the highest form of love, and it's love that seeks the highest good in someone else. God's love means that God eternally gives of Himself to others. It's part of God's nature. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, we read, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And there's the clear statement in Scripture. God is love. We're going to talk more about this. This attribute of God actually existed among the Godhead even before the creation of the world. Jesus spoke of His Father in heaven. He said, "You loved Me before the foundation of the earth," John 17:24. There was a love, in other words, that existed between the Father and Son, between the Son and the Father, between the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father. In John 3:35, we read, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand." Then Jesus said in John 14:31, "I do as the Father has commanded Me, so that the world may know that I love the Father." So you see, the love of God is eternal. It was always there, even before the creation of our world. Now this love within the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, actually translates and comes over in God's relationship to mankind. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, we read this, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins." So if someone is ever questioning whether or not God loves them, one of the things we can say immediately is this: God demonstrated or He has proven His love for us in allowing Jesus Christ to go to the cross and there die and pay the penalty for my sins, for our sins, on the cross. This morning we were studying in Sunday school class the crucifixion of Christ and all the things that led up to the crucifixion of Christ. All the abuse and the injustice that Jesus endured. And our Sunday school teacher, Austin, said, how does this affect it? What do you get out of this when you see how Jesus was treated? And we had an opportunity to respond, and what we get out of this is God's great love for us and allowing His Son to go through the beating and the suffering and the death that He endured for you and for me. It's awesome to consider. I love that 1 John 4:10. It says, "And this is love." This is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfaction for our sins. I found another definition of the love of God from Tony Evans. And it's a long one, but I liked it so much I just jotted it down. I had to do it. Tony Evans puts it this way: "The love of God is His joyful self-determination to reflect the goodness of His will and glory by meeting the needs of mankind." Once again, we see that God gives of Himself to meet our needs. And this is the awesomeness of our God. He is absolutely awesome. And this character of God, the love of God, is that which just encourages us as God's children. And I want us to come away from this message this morning before we go to the Lord's table and remind ourselves of how much the Lord loves us. Now, I realize that there can be somebody going through some real trials in life. I mean, we're talking about difficult trials, things that are unexplainable. Why is this happening? That could say or could on their own come to a conclusion that, well, God just doesn't love me. But see, that's not true. The Bible says God so loved the world, He gave. This is the love of God, the giving to meet the needs of man. But here's another reference. Watch this one. 1 John 4:16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." Whoa, slow down on this one. Slow down. 1 John 4:16, "And we have known," the Apostle John says, "and we believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." I truly believe that there are few people who really understand how much the Lord loves them. I hope you can drive home from this worship service this morning and say, you know, I heard those verses of Scripture that reminds me that God loves me. And by the way, we're going to talk about that characteristics of God's love and how God's love is eternal. But we sang that chorus that Don had us singing this morning. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. In 1 John chapter 4, again, I want us to look at verses 7 through 10. Because this is one of the key passages in Scripture on the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through, actually 11. 7 through 11. 7-11. 1 John 4. Here we go. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God. There's that verse again. And knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was shown or manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might have life, we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, let us love one another. The application of the passage is so clear. God loves us dearly. Application, we need to love one another. This love is awesome. In fact, agape love, the highest form of love, is really a self-sacrificing service. In Colossians chapter 3, just listen to this verse. Colossians chapter 3 puts it this way, to believers, to we who know Christ the Savior. Listen to this now. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if any has a complaint against another, as Christ forgave you, so you must do. Wow. You know what's the hardest thing to do in this world, for even believers? It's to forgive others. Because we can very quickly come to the conclusion that someone else shouldn't be forgiven. And that we've talked about this before. Can you forgive somebody who doesn't want to be forgiven? I mean, does God want us to do that? Well, wait a minute. Let's add this on here. How does God want us to treat our enemies? Does He want us to curse them? Does He want us to speak badly of them? What did Jesus say? Speak badly of your enemies. Do bad towards them. No. Love your enemies. And remember, please don't forget, we can't do this in our own strength. You cannot love someone who hurts you or hurts somebody you love in your own strength. You can't do it. But in the power of Jesus Christ, well, you know the verse as well as I do, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can't love someone who doesn't even want your love without the power of Christ. So this is why it says in Colossians 3, quickly, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, even if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must forgive them. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. What he's saying in this Colossians 3 passage is, let love be a part of your life. Remember that you have a responsibility because of God's great love for you to show love to others and put on love. And then the other exhortation is, or the reminder, that it is the bond of perfection. In other words, when there is love, and even in a difficult situation, it is amazing how God can bring things together. And by not, you would say, well, I'll tell you, there's situations, they're not, it's not going to come together. But still God says you, like the Savior, can be the forgiving one. You can have a spirit of forgiveness even towards those who don't want the forgiveness. You say, give me another example of this. Well, Jesus on the cross. They hung Him on the cross. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we understand that they needed personal forgiveness. They had to repent of their sins. We understand that. But we see Jesus' attitude of forgiveness. Agape love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. He defines love. Love doesn't define God. we understand what love is when we look at God. He's an awesome God. And He loves us so much, He provided a way for us to be forgiven of our sins and someday to come to be with Him. That's an awesome verse and a most important concept that we need to get a hold of. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, God and 8, God is love. That's the little explaining of the love of God. Just a few characteristics. First of all, God's love is uninfluenced. In other words, God didn't look down and He said, I got to use myself on this one. I don't want to use anybody in the congregation this morning. God looks down and He sees Ken Rogers and He says, man, there's really a nice guy. I mean, I'm going to show my love. I still can't get over what Emma said about Hugh. Hugh, you weren't here for that, but she loves you very much. But God doesn't look down and see us and say, boy, that's such a... No, that's not what it says. God loves us because He chooses to love us. And that's why we ought to say, leaving from church today, Lord, I just thank You so much for Your love for me. I don't deserve Your love. You say, is there a passage of Scripture that supports that? There sure is. It's speaking of the nation of Israel, but it says this in Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 8. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the fewest of people. There were a small group of people compared to the nations around them. But because the Lord loved you, He chose you. And He chose you and me. We're experiencing salvation this morning. We know who Jesus is and what He's done for us. And we are recipients of the beautiful love of God. And as a result of this, we are able to love Him. But don't ever forget, 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. Very important. So the first point, and this is important, God's love is uninfluenced. It's not influenced by who we were even after we were born, even in our younger years. Secondly, God's love is eternal. This is very important. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord speaking says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. The two parts of that verse are absolutely beautiful. The first part we're making is the major part, the fact that God loves us with an everlasting love. In other words, God's love for you, believer, and His love for me is not going to be shut down if I do something wrong. Now, I'm going to be careful on this. God's love for us is not going to be shut down if I sin. What am I to do when I sin? I know what the Bible tells me I have to do. I have to forsake the sin, I have to confess it, and I have to move on in the will of God. We all sin one time or another. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But see, the point is, God's not going to turn off His love. I have loved you, Jeremiah 31:3, with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I drew you. So whenever you came to Christ, whenever you received Jesus as your Savior, could have been in a church meeting, could have been in a Sunday school class, could have been in vacation Bible school, could have been at home with mom and dad, could have been when you were home with nobody was there. But you see, the Lord draws people to Himself. And by the way, this challenge to go to that Harvest America on March 6th, it is absolutely wonderful to be able to be there when the invitation is given. If you want to trust Christ this evening, it'll be in the evening. Come forward. And people say, well, you know, people go forward and they're emotional and the music's playing. And so what? If they go forward to receive Jesus, I say, praise the Lord. And I realize that some people can get caught up in the emotion. I've been to Billy Graham Crusades. I've stood next to people with tears running down their face. And you say to them when you're on the floor as a counselor, why are you here? And they say, I'm here because I need Jesus Christ. I've talked to a number of people down through the years who went to the big crusades. And some of them said, one young man said in Dallas several years ago, I said, how come you're here tonight? And he said, my girlfriend said, you better get there and get saved. So, you know, and he did. He responded to the Lord. It's amazing what the Lord does. God's love is eternal. He loves us very much. Thirdly, God's love is holy. This one's important. It's not regulated by sentiment or by passion. God's love never conflicts with His holiness. 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1 verse 5 says, God is light or God is holy. And then in chapter 4 verse 8, it says, God is love. So the point is, God is holy, but God is love. And these two mix. And we have to remember that. God's love is a holy love. It's not some sentimentality. And God loves us very much. And He doesn't want us wandering off into sin. And if you know the Lord, you know that sometimes He may, now stay with me on this, He may allow some difficult things to come in your life to get you not to keep moving away into sin, but to stay back and close to Him. Hebrews 12:6 says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and He scourges every son whom He has received. That's very important. Now let me balance this out. Let me balance it. Not all hardships and trials that you experience are due to sin in your life. Please don't miss this. Because I just read you the passage that says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges. So that's the discipline of God. But I'm saying, not all the trials that you experience are due to sin in your life. But they could be. You see? And it's up to you to figure out as an individual, am I in fellowship with God? Are things right between me and God? I know He loves me, and He may be allowing this very difficult trial because of sin in my life. It could be. But again, please don't miss this. Not all your trials are due to the discipline of God. Sometimes trials are given to us to actually strengthen our faith and test our faith and see if we're going to go on and we're going to endure even though things are hard against us. John chapter 15 talks about the pruning of the branch. The believer, we're branches in John 15. And the Lord prunes us so that we might bear more fruit for the Lord, yes. But God's love is holy. God's love is holy. And He doesn't want us wandering off. So He may allow some difficulty to come our way. Fourthly, God's love is gracious. And I've shared this verse with you before. It's John 8:32. He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Christ freely give us all things? It is amazing how God wants to bless us. There is no reason why we as believers need to be pessimistic about 2016. I don't care where the election goes. Well, I care in one sense. The nation's on a slide the wrong way for sure. And we do have a responsibility to vote. But I'll tell you what. No matter who gets in that White House, God's still on the throne, is He not? And my life is not going to be dependent upon who's in the White House. My life is dependent on the Lord of glory who is watching over me, who cares about me and my family and my church family and believers around the world. He cares for us. And He does allow us sometimes to experience difficulties, for sure. But God is gracious. And the fifth one, you know this one real well, God's love is sacrificial. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were sinners, while we were walking away from Him, He drew us with His love. While we were sinners, Christ died for us, and we'll give thanks at the table. So let's review them quickly. God's love is uninfluenced, it's eternal, it's holy, it's gracious, and it's sacrificial. Now quickly, and we're going to talk more about this next week. In fact, next week, we're going to talk about the triangle of love. Remember I told you that there are a lot of people who've studied the subject of love, and they have found, oh man, this is really a tough subject. Next week, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to talk about the triangle, because the triangle of love tells you what real love is. In other words, it's going to have three parts. There's going to be a word here, there's going to be a word here, and there's going to be a word here. And that's how you're going to know, even in the human expression of love, how there is true love. A lot that is stated today that is supposedly true love is not necessarily true love. Quickly now, just to get us looking ahead, Ephesians 5:2 says, "Walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God. By this is love, because he laid down his life for us." Now, don't miss this. This is really good. I looked at this again this week and I think, oh man, have I ever really grasped this? Oh, Lord, Lord, help me. Here it goes. Our love. Remember, the whole part of the service so far, we talked about God's love. Now we're going to start talking about our love. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking at the Bible and I'm saying, hey, this is not easy. This is not easy. Listen to the verse. You know John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says this, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." Here it goes. Put on your seatbelts. "We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren." We can't lay down our lives so that someone else gets saved. But the Lord is saying, we need to be willing to go that extra mile in order to help others to come to know him and to be built up in their faith. There are lots of things that happen in our culture. But in our culture, we who are here this morning, are probably never going to be called on to lay down our lives literally for someone else. However, that element is easy to see here, that the Lord is saying, you know, if you're going to show agape love, when Jesus showed agape love, there was death involved. And when I, as a believer, I'm going to show agape love, there may have to be some kind of death, a minus thing that comes my way when I show that love. You say, well, give me an example, okay? 1 John 3:17, "Whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart of compassion from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed or in truth." He's saying we need to love others by our actions. Very important. So we're going to talk about the fact that loving others can have a high cost to it, involving what the Bible talks about as death to self and ministry to others. You see why I'm saying, wow, I put a caution here. God wants us to be real careful. He wants us to minister to others. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And it may require death to my own will sometimes. It may require death to what I want to do. Listen, it even says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. There are times when, as husbands, God says, now look, do what your wife wants to do. That's what he says. It's very clear in the Word of God. Man is responsible in leadership before God. But you see, husbands, we need to be real careful that we're willing to lay down our lives for our family, for those we love, for our wives. There's a high cost of love when it comes to helping others. And let me give you one more example. You won't forget this one. So you have your day planned and you want to go on a picnic or you want to watch a Super Bowl with your family or with friends. And somebody calls you up and says, hey, I've got to move today. I need you to help me to move. Invited to a party, go help somebody move. And which one are you going to do? Go to the party. I heard that. See, that's laying down. And remember I said, look, let's be real honest. Let's be real honest here. It's going to be difficult sometimes. It will be difficult. But I'll tell you what, there's great reward. Let me put this contrast and we'll come to the table together. Selfishness, doing only what I want to do, can bring conflict, can bring stress, can bring emotional pain, and sometimes can even bring a lack of physical health into people's lives. If we don't show the love of Jesus Christ to others, if people see us as a negative sign, we need to be those who are willing to give of ourselves like Christ did. And sometimes it could be costly. It may be, in fact, very costly. An African boy was so thankful to his missionary teacher that he had an exquisite seashell to give to her. And in order to get the seashell to give to his missionary teacher, he had to walk a long distance to another bay area where only these shells were found. Well, he brought the shell back to his teacher, and he gave it to her. And she says, "Wow, how wonderful that you have traveled so far to bring me this beautiful shell. How wonderful that you did that." And the boy replied and he said, "Long walk, part of gift. Long walk, part of gift." And so I'm just reminding us, and I'm reminding me, that sometimes when we want to show the love of Christ, it may require a long walk. But the blessing that comes out of your showing others the love of Christ is the direct opposite of what happens when someone just wants to do what he or she wants to do and not show the love of Jesus Christ to someone else. Jesus said to Peter after the resurrection, "Peter, do you love me?" Well, he said it three times to restore Peter. "Peter, do you love me?" First time he said, "Agape, highest form of love. Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." Phileo love, friendship love, brotherly love. And that's how Peter answered Jesus. "Lord, I love you with phileo love, but not agape love." And he didn't say not, but he just used phileo love. But you know what's interesting? Later, when Peter wrote 1 Peter at the back of your Bible, Peter said, "You haven't seen Jesus, but you love Jesus with agape love." And Peter, see, he went from friendship love with Jesus all the way up. He said, "Jesus, I love you with the kind of love that you have for me. And I will give of myself to you. I will give myself to you." And then Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Go out and demonstrate the love of Christ to others." Let's pray together.